Welcome to Cannabis Health Radio, a podcast where we share stories from people around the world who are using cannabis as medicine. The information is meant to raise awareness about the health benefits of cannabis, but should not be taken as medical advice. Now, here are your hosts, Ian Jessup and Corey Yelland.
And welcome to another episode of Cannabis Health Radio. I'm Ian Jessup.
And I'm Corey Yelland.
Before we begin, I just want to remind you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Our goal this year is to have 10,000 subscribers or more, and we think we can do that. We've got about 8,400 right now. And with your help and the help of others, we think that's doable. And what it does is it helps spread the news about the medical benefits of cannabis, and which is what we're going to hear about today. Now, prostate cancer is the sixth leading cause of death among men worldwide, with more than 360,000 men dying of the disease each year. And the prostate slowly begins to enlarge as a man gets older, as some of the prostate tissue gets replaced with a scar-like tissue. That condition is called benign prostatic hyperplasia. From there, it can become cancerous. And joining us today is Paul Rumpel from Florida, who was told he only had a few years to live. Paul, thanks for doing this. We greatly appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Paul, how much time did the doctors give you?
When I was first diagnosed in the summer of 2012, they didn't tell me really how much time was left at that point, but they did say that it was an angry cancer. It was caused directly from Agent Orange from Vietnam, and I had to have immediate surgery because it had already broken out of the side of the prostate. And I was discovered during an annual physical that I had. And so we went from there to surgery in September to radiation treatment the following spring in 2013. And then I went on to the hormone shots and had those. But they told me then that it would be about 10 years and that would be all there was to it. But in the summer of 2018, I was diagnosed as it had spread to metastasize to the bone. And they gave me 2 to 3 years, 5 tops. And we're going on 3 years right now.
That's fantastic. Now, let me back up a bit. You were in the Vietnam War, I assume.
Yes, sir.
And Agent Orange was quite prevalent during the war.
Yes.
And the doctors believe that was the cause of your prostate cancer.
Yes.
Now, before you went to the doctor to get it checked, what were some of the conditions that you were experiencing?
It just came up in my blood work when they did lab testing and stuff. And there was nothing to really alarm them except that the PSA was climbing. And my regular primary physician did a prostate exam, and said he was going to send me off to a urologist because he was concerned. Well, the urologist was in there about 10 seconds. He came out and he said, "We got a problem." And he said, "There's a large lump on the side of your prostate," and they did some biopsies and stuff, and he called it angry cancer, which was very aggressive. He said he'd only seen it 2 other times in his entire career. And he said, "We have to treat that immediately." And I said, "Well, doc, if it was you, what would you do?" And he said, "I would have it removed." So we went to surgery and had the prostate removed. And it came about very quickly. It was like June or July in the summer. And by the end of September, the prostate was out. And we had aggressive treatments that did not stop it. It didn't get it all. So it continued to spread and grow over the course of 6 to 8 years until I got this final result here almost 3 years ago that I had 2 to 3 years to live, 5 tops. And that's when we were introduced to Corey, and started our treatments.
Well, do you recall what your PSA level was at that stage in the game?
It had, when it originally started, it was up in the high teens, like 17, 18.
Right.
And then it started to climb again. And in the summer of 2018, and it wasn't real high. It had only gotten up to maybe seven or eight, but I was still under the injections, the hormone injections, to stop the testosterone production.
Right.
And then they put me on some pills, enzalutamide pills, to increase the testosterone blockage, I guess you would like to call it. And at that point, you know, when we were given that documentation with the hormone injections, the enzalutamide, and the THC that we received through your help and doing the suppositories, the PSA dropped right down to, I think the last reading was a 0.28.
So you're at 0.28 now.
Correct. And I haven't had, and we just had some x-rays done of the hips and everything and the bones and the hips, and they could not find any sign of any cancer whatsoever.
Awesome. Now, I know when you came to me, you had metastasis to the spine or hips or both or...
Yeah, it had metastasized to mostly the bone, and they also said that it had occurred in some of the lymph nodes in the hip and pelvic area. And that's why they gave me 2 to 3 years, five tops.
And now you have no cancer detectable.
It's undetectable. They cannot find it at all. And we did the suppositories for a year. And I just received another 30-day supply because it was suggested by you, Corey, that continue to take maybe low doses all the time.
Yes, but absolutely.
Yeah. It's been almost 2 years now since I've had any doses, and the x-rays were just a couple months ago, if that, and zero detection, completely gone.
Awesome, but you do want to stay on that maintenance dose. I have seen people that do this and stop taking it, and then we see it come back. So, but that's really wonderful to overcome that. So, Paul, when you took cannabis oil, were you doing only suppositories?
Yes, I did for a while. I did the very small rice size amount, and I would put those into a gelatin capsule. And I kept them in the freezer, and each day I would probably take one in the morning and maybe one in the afternoon, trying to build myself up.
Right.
After a while, I was taking one every 3 or 4 hours and did that for about 3 months. And I was in a complete state of euphoria. I was having a good time. I was kind of stoned all the time until the wife says, you got to stop taking those orally, you know, because I was driving the car and we'd leave the house and we'd get 2 blocks away and I'd say, where are we going? I forgot where we were going. So that's when we started doing the suppositories. I was able to increase the dosage exponentially at that point. I was up to a third to a half a gram a day and doing the suppositories, and there was no ill effects or no high at all. It was amazing.
It sure makes a difference.
Oh, it made a huge difference. A huge difference. I was able to get up to about 3/4 of a gram a day, and probably the last 3 months of that year, I was doing that 3/4 of a gram per day.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, Paul, be totally honest with us. Did you really like getting high?
Not really.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
It was kind of confusing. The euphoria was there. I was kind of walking around in a little bit of a happy daze. You know, I just, well, okay. You know, I wasn't functioning so good. Even my actions got a little slow. You know, I was starting to get so used to it that I wasn't alert enough to continue that.
Did you have any experience with cannabis prior to this?
Yes, sir.
I imagine in the Vietnam War, there was a lot being passed around.
It was everywhere. Mm-hmm. It was everywhere. I mean, it was so easy to come by it, that and harder drugs and everything else. But the cannabis was simple. I mean, you know, from the local population, you could pick it up dirt cheap, and it was very easy to get.
Now, sorry, Corey, go ahead.
What was the reaction, if any, from your physician when you get these scans with no cancer detectable?
From the physician, you said?
Yeah.
His response was very positive. You know, I have yet to tell him that we did some self-medication, the physician, because being in the VA and with some of the restrictions for the disability, the DAV and the percentage and stuff through the government, through the Veterans Association, I was very concerned about losing my benefits. So I have not said anything to my oncology physician that we did this self-medication.
Okay.
But he was very positive when he found out that there was no sign of cancer anywhere in those x-rays. He says, I can see your arthritis. He says, I see the condition of your bones and everything, and there's nothing there that I can see that shows any type of cancer. And I thought that was awesome.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing when it's gone that far.
You know, and when we talk to people about the prostate, it really hits home with me because my dad and his five brothers all had cancer, and with the exception of one, they all had prostate cancer. And they underwent conventional treatment, no cannabis oil, of course, and eventually, the only one who did not undergo conventional treatment, he stopped drinking alcohol and consumed a lot of Essiac tea, which some of the Aboriginals in Canada used. And as a result of that, he lived the longest. And I've always been concerned about prostate growth, and as a result of this and hearing your story, I think it is a real fascinating story for men, no matter where they live, that the use of suppositories can be extremely beneficial and life-saving for those people who suffer from prostate cancer. Do you agree?
Oh, yes, absolutely. After my condition was reevaluated, so to speak, this past few months, and I know it has to be a direct result of the cannabis THC suppositories, because there was nothing else they could do for it. You know, they said that once it metastasized to the bone and the lymph nodes, there's aggressive chemotherapy and stuff, but there was nothing they could do to stop it. They could slow it down, but that was it. And now they can't find it anywhere.
That's amazing. Paul, did you choose to change your diet as well?
Oh, yes, ma'am. I did start the keto diet, and we did do that a bit and drink the keto shakes and everything else. And I also stopped drinking alcohol. It's pretty rare now that if I do have a drink, it's one. You know, I'll have one like at a restaurant when we're going to have dinner.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I don't have another one for weeks. So I call that pretty much 99% alcohol free.
Yeah. So basically you did a keto diet then?
Yes, did a keto diet for a good 6 months. When we first started into our research and fighting the prostate cancer, and continue to still check carbs and the keto lifestyle, I would say about 40 to 50% of the carbs and keto lifestyle, because I'm a little weak with liking my sweets and my ice cream. You know, I guess I have to admit it. I'm sorry, but
yeah, you know, that's the stuff that cancer loves. So
I know it.
Yeah, Dr. Bob Melamed absolutely swears by a keto diet in conjunction with oil.
Yep, but I'm 100% convinced that the cannabis treatments that I went through for over a year worked. They worked amazingly.
One of the things, Paul, that you mentioned, the keto diet and reducing your grains, I read several months ago that grains can be responsible for the growth of the prostate over time. And it was interesting to find out an article that was on Harvard Men's Health Watch page on the internet that as you age, your prostate can grow from the size of a walnut to about the size of a lemon. And doctors aren't clear as to why the prostate grows like this. But the keto diet reduces this, I don't want to say reduces the size of the prostate, but because it is low in grains, doesn't allow the prostate to enlarge and become a very serious problem. So just to back up a bit, you do not have a prostate, correct?
Correct. It was completely removed.
Completely removed. So the problem that you had was that because of the problem with your prostate, it metastasized to the bones.
Correct.
Do you know? Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say that was after the prostate was gone for 8 years, 6 years, because it was removed in 2012, and we had the diagnosis in 2018 that it had metastasized to the bone and the lymph nodes. And the 60 treatments, 60 days of radiation therapy that I had did not get it all.
So how did you deal with the radiation? How did that impact you?
It didn't seem to bother me much. I was a little sore in the area because they put the little golden seed pods, they call them, into that area and try to isolate. So they're not like doing a blanket area. They're doing a precise treatment in one particular spot. And it didn't seem to bother me much at all that I remember. A little sore sometimes, but I think that because those seed pods took that radiation directly and targeted it in a certain area. But it didn't slow me down. It didn't stop me from any activities. It didn't take me off work or anything like that. So my response to it was very good.
Paul, are you aware of any other Vietnam vets who have issues like you do?
No. A lot of the vets that I know have not had, or I'm not privy to their story. So I really couldn't. But I have to say no. I'm not aware of any of the other ones that were over there. A lot of the guys that I was stationed with in our company lived in different states. I didn't have any that were like local with me. So when I came back, the only one I had was a Marine friend that had been over there, and I haven't talked to him in quite some time. As a matter of fact, I don't even know if he's still alive. So it just doesn't come up. A lot of guys just don't talk about it.
You know, a number of years ago, I interviewed a Vietnam vet who went back to live in Vietnam, and he had an issue with a cancerous growth behind his ear, and it was growing out of his skull behind his ear, and he said the smell was awful, but as a result of using cannabis oil, it eradicated the tumor, and all you see behind his ear is just a little pink area. So I thought that was interesting because what you told me about Agent Orange, I believe, because this was several years ago, I can't recall, but I believe that may have been a factor in his issue as well.
Oh, very well could have been. That, and we were in direct sunlight on the equator for a year or better. You know, so it may have started with a small lesion from cancerous lesion from exposure.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm not sure why the Agent Orange picked on the prostates. I have no idea. You know, I'm not real medically knowledgeable in order to comment on that one, so I really couldn't tell you. But the THC and the cannabis oil, it works, people. It works good.
Well, you did a multi-strain oil, correct?
Yes, that's what I started with, was the one that you recommended to us, Corey, through a connection in your home state of California there. I picked that up a couple times, and it was a little, it's not cheap. It's expensive, but you know, what's your life worth?
Yeah. So, but yeah, multi-strain is the way to go. That's for sure.
And, well, I did find in my home state, I did find another provider where I could get the almost pure THC oil, about 95-96% pure. They were very familiar with the Simpson oil.
Rick Simpson oil?
Recipe, the mm-hmm. Rick Simpson oil recipe and how to make it. And I was able to get twice as much for about the same price. So that's why I was able to afford to do that for an entire year.
Excellent.
And it worked.
Yeah, I mean, it's problematic. What is the situation with respect to medical cannabis in Florida?
They now have stores and outlets for medical cannabis, and you can get your marijuana card, your cannabis card down here. There was just voted through in the last election to have it legalized for recreational cannabis, and I really didn't follow that too much because I had my own little side supplier.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I didn't want to go after and try and get a medical marijuana card because I didn't want it advertised that I was doing it. But I think now that's been introduced, legislation has been introduced into Congress and stuff where veterans are going to be allowed to use cannabis for medical reasons. But I haven't done any further research on it to find out if that has been voted on or if it's gone through or not.
Yeah, I think the situation is very much like up here. We've got the whole cannabis thing. We're allowed to use it, right across Canada, recreationally as well. However, when it comes to medical cannabis, in quotations, to say it's subgrade would be an understatement. And certainly I've run into people who have tried to access cannabis oil from dispensaries in Florida, and it's been pretty shoddy.
Yeah, that's what we found out, too, by a couple visits the wife and I made to some of the outlets for that, that they were kind of restricted to the actual potency that they could distribute.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the same here. It's interesting, isn't it? You can buy as much alcohol as you want. You can get as drunk as you want. People are quite aware that alcohol can cause you extreme health issues down the road. But when it comes to cannabis, which has never killed anyone, which is beneficial to the human body, they put restrictions on it.
Yes. Yep, they do. Not sure why either.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, the whole thing is just absolutely insane. But you know what, Paul? I'm so glad that you are healthy. At least you feel healthy, don't you?
Oh, yeah. Yep, not a problem. It hasn't slowed me down. You know, age is a factor. I'm 70 years old now. But, you know, and I got the aches and the creaky bones and the snapping knees when you move around too fast. But other than that, I feel great. I don't have a problem with any of it.
You're in midlife now. You're only 70.
Perfect. I like the way you think.
Do you guys notice the older you get, the older young becomes?
Oh, absolutely. Oh.
Yeah, they're catching up to me.
Yeah. 70 is the new, what, 40?
35. Sure.
Let's go with that. Paul, is there anything you'd like to say in conclusion to the audience about medical cannabis or your condition?
Just one thing. I'd like to thank Corey for helping us out and introducing us to Phoenix Tears. Sorry, I might get a little emotional here. Excuse me.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
Because it basically sounds like it saved my life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suspect it did. Paul, there's nothing wrong with showing emotions.
Yeah, I thank you for listening to me when I talk to you, and I thank you for sharing your story and coming forward and sharing it, because you can make a difference in somebody else's life just as I made a difference in yours.
Oh, I hope so. I hope somebody listens to this, takes it to heart, and goes for it.
Yeah, it just takes someone, one person around the world to tell someone else. And, you know, those sorts of stories we probably never know about. But I think you've been extremely brave in telling your story and telling us what you did. And as I said, you're in midlife now and you've got another 70 years to go.
Yeah, I don't know about that, but, you know, I'm glad that I made it to 70. And I thank Corey for that. I thank Cannabis Treatments, and I'm glad that I did it.
Great. Thank you, Paul. And if you'd like to tell your story about your use of medical cannabis, then send us an email. Go to our website, Cannabis Health Radio, send us an email, and we will contact you. And also give us a few details. Sometimes we just get a couple of lines from people, and we have to ask for a few details. We'd very much appreciate that, because your issue may be an issue that someone is considering around the world, and we'd like to help as many people as we can. And also, as I mentioned at the top of the program, don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and also you can find us on all sorts of media platforms, social media platforms, which are too numerous to mention. And if you'd like to donate to Cannabis Health Radio, feel free. We like to have people who donate on a monthly basis, but if a one-time donation is what you want to do, then that's great. And you can do that for as little as $5. And next time, listen to us on Cannabis Health Radio.
Thanks for listening to Cannabis Health Radio. For more information and to search previous podcasts, visit our website, CannabisHealthRadio.com. Subscribe so you don't miss new episodes. And follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. This podcast is made possible by donations from our listeners. If you found the information helpful, please consider making a donation in any amount through our website. You can also help us share our message by leaving a review on your podcast listening platform. We are very grateful for your support. Thank you.